Shoes.
Recorded live.
Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Partell welcoming you to the 90-Day Jumpstart to a New You, and this is our very last teleseminar. Next week, we will have our time together, but I'm just going to open up the phone lines and let you share what God has done in your lives through this experience. So be thinking about that, and don't hesitate to call in because I would sure love to hear from you. But we are closing in on the end of our journey together. And this week, I'm going to talk about the final season of our lives, and that is our retirement years. We're going to talk about retirement planning. This is week 12, and we're discussing my book, Becoming the Woman God Wants Me to Be, a 90-Day Guide to Living the Proverbs 31 Life. And I have a number of thoughts for you this week. I have a feeling that it's going to stretch some of you, but that's okay. That's what I do, right? We come here week after week not to hear what we've already thought, we've already believed and known all along, but hopefully to stretch us and to get us thinking outside the box a little bit. So let me go ahead and just start with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to jump on in. I've got five M's that I'm hoping to get through in the area of retirement planning. Well, Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the women who are on this journey with me, the journey to becoming the women that you would have us be, those contemporary, modern-day Proverbs 31 women. And I pray tonight that your spirit would be with us, that you would speak loud and clear about your perspective on the whole idea of retirement. And I ask you to do it in the name of our King and for the sake of his kingdom, our King Jesus. Amen. Well, the first M is a mindset shift. Mindset shift. Retirement is not a biblical concept. Retirement is not a biblical concept. So much of what we believe as American Christians is really tradition and cultural baggage. It actually has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the Bible. It's really amazing to me. I think I've said this before, I'll say it again. The problem with most of us is that we read what we believe in the Bible rather than believing what we read in the Bible. And so I'm going to be throwing out a lot of verses tonight that if you're anything like me, and that's kind of a typical American evangelical Christian, these aren't verses that you read very often because you're camped out at other places that are more in alignment with your doctrine and theology. So we're going to stretch it. But retirement is not a biblical concept. You know, when my father passed away in 2006, I moved my mother out here about a mile from my home into a retirement community. It's a planned community, not a nursing home, but a retirement community, and everybody has their own little park model, or, you know, during the winter, the snowbirds drive down in their RVs, and there's spots where they can park their RVs, and it's like being on a cruise ship is the only thing that I can liken it to. They've got shuffleboard and bingo and dinner parties and concerts. I mean, with big name stars come here and entertain them. There's an indoor, outdoor swimming pool. There's the biggest jacuzzi I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it is just, there's every club and activity. There's a full-time activity director to come up with stuff for these people to do. It's just absolutely amazing that these people spend all day being entertained. Now, Scripture, that's not what we see. In Scripture, and indeed in many cultures throughout history and in the world today, as people age, they're not looking to recreate their carefree teenage years. Instead, they are increasing in influence and power and authority. In our culture today, as people age, they decrease, for the most part, in their influence, power, and authority, and go out and, you know, maybe just sit and watch TV all day, or, you know, play bingo or whatever. And, you know, a little of that is okay, but I hope tonight you're going to hear my heart, that gray hair is meant to be a mark of wisdom and honor and ideally an influence, that as we age, we grow in our knowledge of the Lord and we have more to share, and we become more and more relevant because God's word is always relevant. I want to give you the key verse that the Lord laid on my heart today, And that was Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. Did you get that? We want you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You know what, sisters? I'm writing that one down, and that is going to be my motto. Now, I'm not even going to call them my retirement years because it's not scriptural. I'm going to call it my senior season. My senior season. And I hope it's the season where I do my most effective work for the kingdom of God, because when we work, but when we pray, God works. And so I pray that I will be a mighty woman of God, of prayer and influence in my senior season. Caleb is one of my heroes. He said this in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10 through 12. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, you know, sending them out to spy out the land while Israel moved about in the desert. And so here I am today, Caleb says, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day when Moses sent me out. He's 85. He's like, I'm strong. I'm vigorous. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then, he says. He has stayed strong in spirit, in soul, and body. And that is the woman that I want to be. I want to be 85 years old and say, give me the hill country. That's what what Caleb says. He says, now give me this hill country. Now, what's the hill country? That's the toughest place to take. If you know anything about battle strategy, you know that you always want to take the high ground because it's impossible or almost impossible for the enemy to take it from you. You know, if you are a Civil War expert, people said, you know, listen, Robert E. Lee was at Gettysburg in plenty of time to take the high ground. His soldiers were. If they had taken the high ground, they probably would have won at Gettysburg and we would have had a very different outcome in the American Civil War. The high ground is critical because once you're set there and people are trying to come up that hill at you, I mean, you know, that's where we get the term uphill battle, and it's not an easy thing. But here's Caleb saying, you know what? Give me the hill country. I'll take that uphill battle because now that I'm old, I'm not sitting back looking for some easy chair. I'm ready for the uphill climb. I'm ready for the toughest challenge that you've got. I mean, those of you who know me know that Caleb is one of my great heroes, and I talk about him often. He says, give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites, you know, the Anakites were these big, huge giants, you know, his nation of Goliath. They were there, and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. And that, to me, is what the senior season is about. The senior season, for me, is not going to be about playing bingo and shuffleboard. Now, if I want to do that, that's fine. But it's not what it's about. It's not going to be the heart of what I do. I want my senior season to be marked by this, taking the hill country, being willing to wage those uphill battles, being one who's determined to take all the ground for the kingdom of God that the Lord wants taken and conquered. I want to be that mighty woman of faith with a crown of gray hair and a crown of glory who says, is the enemy entrenched somewhere? Fine, let me at him. I will drive him out. I think it's important for us to understand that war is biblical and leisure is not biblical. You know, I live in an area outside of Phoenix. I'm east of Phoenix and filled with all these communities like the one I described. There's one called Leisure World. Leisure World, and it's huge. And people in the retirement years go and they engage in leisure. I don't believe that leisure is biblical. Now, I'm not saying it's demonic. I'm not saying that leisure is from the devil and anyone who engages in any leisure is evil and wicked. But the picture in Scripture is of us becoming mighty warriors. Now, the Scripture speaks of rest, and I want to contrast rest and leisure because in America we're obsessed with leisure. Rest Rest is designed to renew us and revive us in spirit, soul, and body. The reason the Lord requires us, first of all, to have Sunday as a Sabbath day, I should say. I know some of us believe Saturday is the Sabbath. So have a Sabbath of rest, a day of rest, and set aside to reflect, is not that that would be a permanent way of life. But the purpose is that we would re-energize, refuel, revive, and renew in our spirit, soul, and body so that we can step out in those other 6 days and work and be creative and fulfill the call of God upon our life. So rest is biblical. And, of course, even as we're going about our business, we can have rest for our souls. And my next study that I'm going to be teaching here on the internet, the 90-day renewal in spirit, soul, and body, that is going to be the heart of what I'm going to be teaching, the idea of having a soul at rest even as we have a body in motion. And that's what I want to be from now until the day that God calls me home. Leisure dulls our spirit, soul, and body. Leisure does not revive. It dulls. You know, you go to Disneyland, you know, and engage in, you know, the what do they call them? The roller coasters and cotton candy and all of this leisure activity. And it dulls spirit, soul, and body. True rest revives us. You know, one of my heroes is Corrie Ten Boom, and it said that she led more people to Christ between the ages of 80 and 90 than the rest of her life combined. Another of my great heroes was a man by the name of Dr. William Miller, who sailed for Iran, then called Persia, in 1919, worked for 43 years, retired in the 1960s. I met him in the early 1980s. He was living in a nursing home. He had his own little one-bedroom apartment in the nursing home, but he was active in ministry in his senior season and was powerfully effective and used by God. And throughout the day, he would be writing letters. Of course, this was before the internet, but he was writing letters. He was receiving visitors from around the world, and he was actively serving the Lord in whatever way he could. He was writing booklets about Islam and how to reach out to your Muslim neighbor and your Muslim guest. He has a little booklet called Your Muslim Guest, how would all these international students from Muslim backgrounds coming to the United States, how could we relate to them and present Christ to them? And he stayed busy and active even through his 90s up until 102 when he had a stroke and died at 103. And one of my other great heroes is a woman by the name of Janet Barr, who I met at my local church here. And she has ministered in China and Thailand and actually taught at Beijing University, her and her husband, who deceased about a year or so ago. But they taught at Beijing University, which is like the Harvard of China, and really were used by God to be greatly influential in the life of some of the best and brightest there in China. And of course, now these Chinese students, when they come to America, they want to come and they want to visit and spend time with Janet and her husband before they passed, you know. And she is just so amazing, and what a picture of what I want to be in that senior season. And so when I was teaching this at my local church, I thought, Janet, I'm going to have Janet come and be our special guest and share about her work in China. And you want to know what she said? She emailed me and said, "Oh, Donna, I can't. I'll be in Malawi. I'm not available. See, I'm going to be. You know, she must be in 70-ish, somewhere in the 70 range. I want to be 70 and unavailable." I said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't speak to the local church. I'll be in another country ministering to AIDS orphans. That's who I want to be." So we need, number one, a mindset shift. The idea that the goal of life is to work, 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 so that someday we can become gray-haired teenagers. You know, and just this whole leisure world lifestyle, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. So let's get rid of it. You know, one of the interesting books I've read lately, which really gives us an understanding of the next generation that's coming up, you know, the young people in their 20s, if you want to understand their mindset in the world, a great book to read is the 4-hour work week. And it's really just an out there book. And of course, it's not from a Christian perspective at all. But it definitely gives you a picture of the mindset of this generation coming up now. But the mindset of our generation that we must break free from is the idea that you work during your peak, quote, years, you know, from like 20 to 65, and then you get the reward of retirement. The mindset of this next generation, as expressed in that book, and which I really like, and what is much closer to the mindset that God has given me and the paradigm shift he's already accomplished in me, is the idea of many retirements and many seasons of rest woven throughout our lives. And I really think that that's a much more biblical principle. I know it's a much more biblical principle. And so that you work for, you know, 9 months and then you take a month. You know, by the way, July, other than my internet work, July is the 7 months of the year, and I'm going to take a Sabbath for the month of July. I'm not taking any speaking engagements. I'm not going usually in July. I go on a mission trip. I'm not going to do that this year in July. I'm going to take that 7th month as a month to rest, other than the little internet class I'm doing Monday nights. Really going to try to have a Sabbath. And this is the mindset of this young generation that's coming up, and I like it. I like it. I think it's more biblical. You know, I look at my daughter, Leah, by the way, pray for her right now. She's in Guatemala. She texted me emailed me late last night saying that her roommate has fallen ill and that Leah herself is feeling kind of, you know, her throat and coughing, and so do pray for her. But she is very much of the mindset of, you know, maybe I'll work for a while, but then I want to go and I want to live overseas and I want to serve God at an orphanage for a few months. So let's get a mindset shift. Number two, let me move forward. Number two is meaning. Meaning. Do work that is meaningful to you. Become an expert on something. Ask yourself this question. If you could do only one thing all day, every day, for the rest of your life, what would it be? Then build your life around that thing. You know, it's interesting to me. I answered this question. I think it may have been posed in the 4-day work week. I think it may pose it. Of course, it's a question that you've probably heard before and one that you may even have heard me pose. But you want to know what I would do, truly? I would have a nice little spot, like a chair with a cabana on a beach, and I would sit there all day and pray for whoever needed prayer. Like, people would just come to me. I'd be sitting there. I've got my spot. I'm under the cabana. There's some palm trees. I'm relaxing. I've got my Bible. I'm praying. And, you know, one person after another comes, and they need prayer. You can remember Deborah sitting under the palm tree as the judge of Israel? Well, I don't want to be a judge. I don't want to give anybody an opinion about anything. I just want to pray for people, and I want to pray with people. If that was all I could do all day, every day, yeah, that would do it. And then get up once in a while and take a walk on the beach. That would be me. So what is it that you would do? Build your life around it. Build a career, a ministry, and a life around that thing that has powerful meaning for you. I hope this is making sense. I do not ever want to retire from praying with people. If you have a job, and some, of course, a lot of you are full-time at home, but if you see yourself desiring to retire from what you're doing right now, then you're not doing the thing that God created you to do. Because when you have meaning in your work and you're doing what God designed you to do, the word retirement makes no sense to you. You know, today Hector and Mimi Torres stopped by. They're from the couple from Bogota, Colombia that I work with. And, you know, they're leaving tomorrow morning. They're going back to Bogota. I'm going to fly down in August and spend 2.5 weeks with them going around. They're in their 60s. Retire? I mean, you may as well be speaking in tongues because they have no idea what you're talking about. Their life is meaningful. They've devoted their lives. You know, Mimi's passion is feeding and clothing and caring for the poor children of her country, Colombia. She's going to do that until she dies, I have no doubt, because it's meaningful to her. She's not going to retire from that because it's not a job. It's a calling. It's the meaning of her life. and I want you to grab hold of it. What are you passionate about? And then let me say this. Every passion has potential for income. I want to write that down. God has given every one of us a passion, something that we can do in this world that has meaning to us, and every passion has within it potential for income. Hector has a passion for equipping pastors. He's written books to help pastors. He leads pastors' conferences and takes, they'll take an offering for him. So there's potential income right there in his life's passion. Find your life's work. Don't be afraid to be compensated for it. Now, one of the problems in the church, especially related to women, is male ministers are paid, but women who work just as many hours as the pastor, every bit as hard, they're not compensated. And you know what? It's not biblical. Matthew 10:10, the worker is worth his keep. The worker is worth his keep. That same exact word, worker, the exact word worker that's worth the keep is the same word used in Romans 16:3 when Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. So the workers are worthy of their keep. And so women who work in service to God are every bit as entitled to compensation as a male worker. It's not biblical. Again, so much of this stuff is just cultural. If a man wants to volunteer, that's wonderful. If a woman wants to volunteer, that's wonderful. But Scripture says in Deuteronomy 25:4, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain. And that the worker of any gender is worthy of her keep. Proverbs 31, we see, it says, give her the reward she has earned. You see, you get the picture in Proverbs 31 of a woman doing things that she finds very, very meaningful. But, just like for a man, we don't say for a man, well, you're a lawyer because that's meaningful to you, but we don't expect you to be compensated for it because you find so much meaning in it. But to a woman, that's what we say. Oh, well, the work itself is a reward. That's meaningful to you. That should be enough. It's not biblical. It's cultural. It's American. But it's not biblical. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, give her the reward she has earned. As she goes about all these tasks that are meaningful to her, that are an expression of the gifts that God has placed within her, she's entitled to a reward. It doesn't say she'll have to get by with whatever reward her husband has earned. Does it say that? Again, that's a very North American idea, not biblical idea. Proverbs 31 woman had her own interest, her own business. She didn't neglect her family, but clearly she had a life beyond her family that generated income and earned her both rewards and recognition. We need a mindset change about earning money, don't we? We need to find work that's meaningful to us and then be diligent in carrying it out. It shows us a vivid picture of a diligent woman in Proverbs 31. And it says that all of her diligence pays off in a big way. And she earns. Did you hear that word? Do you want to underline it? Earned. No one's doing her a favor. She's earned it. I love it. Let me share some scriptures with you about diligence. I looked these up and I think these are great. Lazy hands make a man or woman poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. God has called us to diligence. And as we are diligent, we will reap financial rewards. I believe God will see to it. I know God will see to it. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Now, notice it doesn't just say, that's Proverbs 13:4. Notice it doesn't say the needs of the diligent are fully satisfied. It says the desires. It says the desires. Proverbs 21:5 says this, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. If you are a diligent woman, it will lead to profit. There will be rewards, and you will earn them. Are you guys getting this? This is great, isn't it? This is from 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12. Paul writing, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat." I think it goes for women too. "We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy buddies. Busy bodies. They are not busy. They are busy bodies." Who does the scripture say that about? It says about women too, doesn't it, specifically? "Such people," and I see no reason to assume that they were just men, "such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." I'm going to say it again. "Even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If someone will not work, they shouldn't eat. They shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." And I know that what I'm saying is revolutionary. I know it doesn't fit in with the North American Christian contemporary church teaching. And I know I'll ruffle a lot of feathers. And someone may listen to this down the line and send me hate mail. But I'll tell you what, we get a real problem with idle women in the church. I've lived it. I know. They're idle. They're not busy. They're busy bodies. They're not earning their bread. They're idle. They're sitting home. "Oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom." So have I. I've been a stay-at-home mom for 20 years, too. But that doesn't mean I'm idle and a busybody. It doesn't mean I'm on the phone gossiping and trying to destroy the work and the reputation of other people. It doesn't mean I'm watching soap operas and reading romance novels. I'm home. I'm homeschooling. I'm running a home business. I think, I hope, I pray that I'm a contemporary example of the Proverbs 31 woman. The scripture's warning is here. Don't be idle. Idle hands are the devil's workshop at any age. You know, I told you about these places out here in Arizona, Leisure World. There's one called Sun City. You want to know what the nickname is for it? Sin City. I don't have the statistics, but I'll tell you, it's really terrible. It's really, really outrageous, the stuff that goes on in these retirement communities. Because you know what? These women have lived a lifestyle of not being busy, but of being idle, busy bodies, not developing diligence, not developing character. I know I'm being tough tonight, but you know what? I'm just telling the truth. I live out here in Arizona. I see it. I see the lack of character. I see the superficiality. I see these women who have nothing of substance to talk about, just idle minds that have grown, you know, just empty and just inviting the devil's nonsense of gossip and backbiting and frivolous things that are of no eternal consequence. I want to talk about things that matter. One of my most powerful teachings when I do my live weekends is that I point out that as we age and as we gray, that we are all going to fall into the pattern of telling the same stories over and over and over again. And so I've made a decision, and I urge my conference attendees to make a decision before they leave that we're going to tell stories worth telling, stories about the meaningful work and the meaningful things that God has accomplished in and through our lives. We don't want idle hands. We don't want idle minds. We don't want idle words. So the idle conversation is the devil's broadcasting system. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle words are the devil's broadcasting system. And an idle mind is the devil's playground. We need to not be idle. We need to be diligent. And that's why I don't like retirement. I don't even like the whole concept because it's idleness. We need to be diligent, and I'm going to be diligent until the day Jesus takes me home. Number three, hope you got those. Number one, M, was mindset shift. Number two, meaningful work. Get a revelation. God wants us to be diligent. Number three, multiple streams of income. Now, according to the IRS, there are three types of income. There's earned income, portfolio income, and passive income. Again, according to the IRS, to the IRS website today. There are three types of income. earned income, portfolio income, and passive income. Now, earned income is you wake up in the morning, you go to a job, you check into the clock, you work X number of hours, and in return for those X number of hours, you get X number of dollars. You have earned that specific income during that particular week of work. That's earned income. I don't know how many of you are involved in that. I haven't had earned income in 20 years. Well, more than that. I lost my job in 1988 after the stock market crashed in late 1987. Then in 88, I lost my job. And I haven't had earned income since. I haven't had it. In other words, paycheck. Then there's portfolio income. Portfolio income includes income from investments, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, savings accounts. We can take the earned income, obviously, most of us will not be able to take into our senior season. Most of us during our senior season do not want to have to get up and go and earn a paycheck, although more and more people are finding that they have to pursue earned income during that senior season because they didn't understand portfolio and passive income. As we age, it's very possible that we will have less energy and want to devote less hours to income activities. So let's pay attention, not just to earned income, but to portfolio income and passive income. And to me, the older I get, the more I want to see those other two kicking in to provide for me. Now, as far as portfolio income, there's really only three things that I want to say about building your portfolio income for your senior season. Number one, if you haven't done so already, you should go to treasurydirect.gov, treasurydirect.gov, and establish an account there, and there you can buy United States government treasury bills. I know we may have a Canadian on the line, so this may not apply to you. I'm sure there's something similar in Canada that you can invest in, Canadian treasury bills. Right now, I just read about this this weekend, and I really agree with this recommendation. Right now, I would only buy T-bills of three-month maturity or less. Then when inflation kicks in, and I believe it will very soon, the interest rate on those long-term treasury bonds is going to start going up and up and up and up and up. And when you see the yields on those long-term treasury bonds hit like 10%, then, boom, walk in, get those long-term treasury bonds. And you think, Donna, the United States is collapsing. Believe me, when it comes down to the moment when the government-issued treasury bonds are worthless, I promise you everything else will be done. It's over. It's Armageddon at that point. This is the safest thing you can do. If you still want to invest in the stock market, I recommend an index fund. Index fund. An index fund basically is an index to like the Dow Jones Industrial Average or something like that. It's an index on how the overall market is performing. And the reason you do that is because if the market goes up, you win. If the market goes down, you'll lose. But you minimize those fees and risk. You ride the market, and you only want to be in that for money that you're committing over the long term, that you're committed to leaving there until your senior season arrives. I mean, right now I'm not putting anything in the stock market. I can tell you that right now. And the other thing that you might want to look at is silver, gold, and foreign currency funds. Silver, gold, and foreign currency funds to hedge against the dollar. If we're going to get an increasingly weakened dollar, then you're going to want to have money in silver, gold, and foreign currency funds. And the most important thing, if you already learned this, is to make it automatic. So that's all I want to say about earned income and portfolio income. And now I want to shift gears and I want to take a look at passive income. Again, I have a little list here, and some of this is, I think this is in the book, but I'll just recap it here. What do I mean by passive income? Rent from properties that you own. Cash flow this is where people got lost in the recent real estate boom. They invested for capital. They invested hoping for appreciation. In other words, they bought a $100,000 house hoping that they could fix it up, flip it, and make $200,000. That's not investing, that's speculating. And speculators always get burned. Robert Kiyosaki taught me that. I didn't listen. I speculated. I got burned. You're going to buy rental property. Make sure you buy for cash flow. In other words, you want to get a small little starter duplex or a little starter home that you can rent out to one of these, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of couples whose credit has been destroyed. And they're a nice couple, but their credit is destroyed. And they've been through a foreclosure. And they'll never, you know, they're not going to be able to buy a house for another 7 years. And you can rent them a little starter home. Cash flow. That's what you want to look at. If that house, if that little investment property is going to cost you $700 a month and you go on to rentclicks.com, or I think rentalinc.com, you know, just I think rentclick.com is a good one. Find out what rent's going for in that area, and you know, oh, I can get $1,000 a month for that place. You can cash flow. In other words, you're going to get paid more than it's costing you to own that property. And then what happens is that your renter is literally paying for your house, and when you reach that senior season, you sell that house and you live off of it. It's really a good idea. And this is way beyond the scope of what I can cover just tonight. I would definitely encourage you to go to my website and, you know, type in real estate in the search button. And I did a great full-hour teleseminar last time around with Tamara Aragon, and there's links there to her her training program. And if you're thinking that type of passive income, rental income that you would like to get into, I highly recommend Tamara. She's a wonderful Christian woman, very godly. I know her well, and she owns $10 million in real estate. And she started as a divorced single mother in bankruptcy and has grown from there to $10 million in real estate. She knows what she's talking about. And she hears from God, and that's the important thing, and He leads and guides her. And so she's able to shift and to really capitalize on what's happening. The other area is passive income, and this is one that I'm praying will be a blessing to me in my senior season, is royalties. Royalties from publishing a book, licensing a patent, or some other form of intellectual property. Some of you have heard, if you've read in the book about the chief, is now 105. Yeah, he is 105. And do you want to know what the chief lives on? He lives on royalties. He invented the walker with the two wheels in front. That was his invention. Or no, it's got all four wheels. Yeah, he's the wheeled walker. He invented that. And he patented that invention. And he lives off the royalty. I had another friend who actually, a homeschooling family, and they lived like kings. I mean, they had the most beautiful house of any homeschooling family you have ever met. And I found out that the reason that they could do so is their grandfather invented the garage door opener. And, you know, like, this family doesn't even work. I mean, they work at raising their brood of, you know, eight kids. But they live completely off, almost completely off of the royalties from the patent on the invention of the garage door opener. Now, I don't know if you're going to invent something, but why not? Why not? We have the mind of Christ. God can give you an idea for an invention. God can give you a great idea for a book or something like that, and then you get paid royalties. You know, I wrote the book, Becoming a Vessel God Can Use. I wrote that book, I think, in, I want to say, 1994. Is probably when I wrote it, maybe 1995. How many years ago? How's your math? How many years ago is that, guys? Someone do the math. Long time ago. 15 years? I still twice a year get a nice check in the mail. I love it. But here's something. Now you may be thinking, Don, I can't do rental property. I can't write a book. I don't think I can invent anything. I'm like, don't worry. Don't worry. I've got something for you. Stay with me here, my friends. Internet information businesses. Oh, girlfriends. I'm going to teach this to you. Stay with me, friends. I know I decided my next class is going to be the 90-day renewal, but after that, I'm going to teach you my new book, Homemade Business, and you are going to learn how to set up an internet-based information business that can create passive income for you for years to come. And I want you to think about something. You create an e-book on a classic topic. Parenting tips are ageless and timeless. What makes a great marriage work? Ageless, timeless. My favorite books, devotional books, were all written by Andrew Murray, who was born in the 1800s in South Africa. But the scriptural truth, the spiritual truth that he communicates in those books is as relevant today as the day he wrote it. You can write something timeless. Put it up on the internet as an e-book. Set it up. I'm going to teach you how to do that and start earning passive income. The other thing that you can do, even if you're not in the Effusion business, go ahead and start attending our Thursday night training classes because they're going to teach you skills that you can use with any internet-based information business. They're going to be fantastic. And that brings us to the last area of passive income, and that is residual income. So residual income is a type of passive income. Sometimes the words are used interchangeably, but they really shouldn't be. And I may even be guilty of it because rental is passive, royalties are passive, an internet information business, that's passive. But it's not residual. Residual is passive, but it's also residual. It's both. It's a double whammy. Now, this is a definition off the internet. Residual income is repeated regular income earned by a salesperson generated from the payment of a product or service that must be renewed on a regular basis in order to continue receiving its benefits. I know that's complicated. But basically, residual income is you sign someone up today for a product, and they sign up for AutoShip. And then every month that they stay on that AutoShip program, or every day that they order from that company. Now, Avon would be an example of residual income passive income that may or may not be residual. The key to creating residual income is that you want to be associated with a product or a company where people order every month or regularly reorder. That's why it's so important to have a consumable product. That's why things like Creative Memories, I mean, I know Rhonda Anderson, the founder of that, I know we have a lady who does longer burger baskets, some of these other things. They're good, but they're not consumable. They're not consumable. What you want for a good business, direct selling or network marketing business, that's going to create residual income for you is something consumable, something that the person will fall in love with the product and say, you know what, I'm going to use this product for the rest of my life. I used to be a distributor for Mel Luca, but then, you know, we kind of fell on tough times, and I wasn't earning money with it because I wasn't working it as a business. I was just using the products, and I canceled the auto ship. You know, I miss my Mel Luca. I miss those products. And I'm going to sign up under my girlfriend and start ordering them every month again. You know, and then my laundry detergent and my dish detergent and all that stuff, it just comes to me every month, and I don't have to bother with it. And I think more and more people are going to find that appealing, especially with this new trend of people wanting to live off the grid. You know, people are wanting to live further out in the exurb, you know, beyond the suburbs, live off the grid, have solar panels, and then just have the UPS truck deliver their stuff to them. Very appealing, and that's kind of where I want to be. So people find products that they love, you know, the bare minerals makeup, it comes through every month. That is how you create not only passive but residual income that comes in month after month after month after month. When I wrote Homemade Business 20 years ago, it was my first book, I absolutely detested network marketing and direct sales. I hated it with a passion. I mean, to the, like literally to the point of disdain. And the reason was because of the way it was conducted. There was so much dishonesty and, you know, people pretending that they wanted to be your friend and, you know, you went to kindergarten with them and then all of a sudden they want to get together with you and they start drawing circles on a napkin and it turns out that they're trying to recruit you for, you know, Amway. You know, and I had that done to me a number of times and I really disliked it. And you could only build that business by bugging your family and friends and doing that kind of thing. But the industry has grown up. The industry has matured. That was 20 years ago, and things have changed. People are forthright, you know, this is my product, this is my business, are you interested? No, great, fine, whatever. And the real power is in the internet. When we bring together internet marketing, social networks like Twitter, Facebook, and all these other things, then all you do is put the word out there about your product, about your service, and people who are interested find their way to you. But, of course, you've got to do the work of putting your net and your tentacles out there far enough, broadly enough, and often enough that people will indeed come to you and find you. Now, this is the key. You've got to work hard now to build a large network marketing company that will yield residual income for years and years ahead. Now, the first time I did the 90-day jumpstart, I had a guest during this session on retirement planning, and his name was Bob Ross. He's a pastor from Ohio. I know his wife, Lorraine. She's actually like one of my twin, separated at birth. And he shared, he's a pastor, a financial planner, and his wife started a business with a company called Juice Plus. I love their products. Again, I never built a business with it. I just didn't. I never really made any income with it, but I do like the Juice Plus product, and it, you know, kind of on auto ship again, which is why, you know, the residual income. But anyway, Bob shared that his wife, and now he works with her in it, she has built up a residual income of $10,000 a month, and they believe that they've built a business so large and so solid that they will be able to sustain that throughout their senior season, $10,000 a month or a good amount of money. And as a financial advisor, he shared that you would have to have portfolio income. Remember we talked about earned income, portfolio income, and passive income. In order for you to generate the equivalent of $10,000 a month with portfolio income, you would have to have invested about $2 million in that. You'd have to have $2 million in that portfolio for it to yield the equivalent. I hope you're getting it. I know this is a little complicated, but I want you to get this. There's earned income. Now, when you're, you know, a senior seasoned saint, I don't know if you want to get up and go to work 9 to 5. I don't even want to do it at my age. So then the other options of what you're going to live on is portfolio income or passive income. There's no Social Security. I mean, that's a joke, right? The 401k plans, I mean, we get that, right? So it's either portfolio income, which I described a few moments ago, or passive income. There's nothing else, sisters. So let's get the revelation. And you would have to have $2 million in an investment portfolio to yield a $10,000 residual income like he is earning. Now, most of you know that I'm building a residual income with Effusion. Effusion is a brand new company. I don't know if it's going to fly or die. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that because it's brand new. And if a company is going to fail, it's going to fail in the first couple years. So I don't know. Is Effusion going to fly? Is it going to die? My prayer is that it's going to fly. I'll tell you this much. My income this month, I'm going to make in passive residual income. Now, I am working at the business, but it's still considered residual income because it's people that have signed up, it's people that others have signed up. I'm going to make $8,000 in the month of July. Yeah, I don't know if that will sustain, but I'm working hard, and I'm sharing the vision, and I'm telling other people I believe it's an answer to prayer. I believe God's doing it. And the other business that I'm working on is Isagenix. Now, Isagenix, I'm now just getting to the point where the products pay for themselves. That's kind of where I was with the Juice Plus, and then I just didn't really bother that much with it. But with the Isagenix, I've reached a point now where those products are paying for themselves and putting a little bit of extra money in my bank account. My next challenge, I'm going to build the Isagenics business and I'm going to build the Effusion business. But I'm going to build myself, I promise you, I'm going to build myself a passive income with a network marketing company because I believe in it now. Number four. Am I running out of time? Oh, I'm running out of time. Number four is move. One of the lines in the book, 4-Hour Work Week, that I loved. Get paid. If you want to know how to live well, get paid in dollars, pay people to work for you in rupees, and live on pesos. Get paid in dollars, pay rupees, and live on pesos. In other words, have your business, an internet business, a residual income business, portfolio income that pays you in U.S. or Canadian dollars, then hire people, virtual assistants. This is a big part of that 4-Hour Work Week book, which I'm going to figure this out next, is you hire people in India for $2 an hour to do work that Americans would charge $60 an hour for, and you pay them in rupees, and then you move to Costa Rica, which has the highest quality of life in the world. This is fresh off the internet today, July 6, 2009. Costa Rica has the highest quality of life on the planet. And you can move there with that portfolio and passive income, and it will go so much further. You can live like a queen. Move for a mission. I have a friend of mine. She retired on her Social Security check. She retired to Cairo, Egypt for $300. She has a three-story flat plus a full roof, which is a whole other floor, really. It's a whole garden, an outdoor dining area in an upscale neighborhood of Cairo for $300 a month. $300 a month. She says, I'm going to die here. I'm going to die here. I'm retiring. I'm going to die here. My grandkids can come see me, and I'll go see them. And she has a powerful ministry. She teaches quilting in her senior years. Develop a passion for people. I want to give you another story. I was speaking at a church. I got to make it a short story. I'm running out of time. But the women's ministry director really caught the vision for what I was sharing about living life on a mission and being part of God's kingdom around the world. Talked to her husband, who is at retirement age, into going to Bolivia. He had no interest in mission. I saw them at a Food for the Hungry gathering a couple months ago. That man looked me in the eye with tears streaming down his face and said, my goal is to die in Bolivia. They're selling everything, and they are retiring to Bolivia. Move. 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 There's an M for you. You want to know how to make it in the senior citizen? Move somewhere where that portfolio and passive income in U.S. or Canadian dollars is going to go a long way. Look to South America. Number five is manage your money well. I'm so out of time. 7 minutes. I'm out of time. Number five was manage your money well. Set it up. I'm going to have to go through really quick on this. Set up all of your information on Quicken so you can get a monthly picture of your income and your expenses so that you can monitor your portfolio income and your passive income. Prepay your mortgage, sisters. Prepay your mortgage. An extra 10% a month right now, you won't even notice it, but you will pay off that mortgage years early. Pursue a loan modification or a refinance. Sisters, I promise you, interest rates will never be lower than they are right now. Take it seriously. Take advantage of this opportunity. Seek a loan modification. If you cannot get it, pursue a refinance. Get out of debt right now. Sell whatever you have to, but get out of debt. And get out of debt now. Move your credit cards to lower rates. Go to bankrate.com. Find the best rates going right now and move your credit over. What you can do is call your existing credit card and say, hey, look, I found out your competitor's paying 0.2%. Want to give me a better rate? 9 times out of 10, they will say yes. Never buy a new car. Always buy a car that's about 2 years old or more. Over your lifetime, that will save you a fortune. Think cash flow, sisters. Think like a businesswoman. It amazes me. People think nothing of picking up the phone and ordering Pizza Hut, which I promise you will never be less than $30. But I tell people about a business opportunity, ground floor, $30. and two women take me up on it. We need to start thinking like business women. People who think nothing of spending thousands on frivolous, mindless vacations won't go to a personal development training seminar. People will buy novels. Why don't you buy a book on personal finance and personal growth? Make sure you have term, not whole, term life insurance, not whole life insurance. Whole life insurance is one of the biggest ripoffs ever conceived by the mind of the insurance industry. All you need is term life. One thing you might want to think about is long-term disability insurance. Make sure you write a will. Make sure you have an active will. Psalm 39:6, man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. That's the foolish man. How about a good man, a good woman? Proverbs 13:22, a good man or a good woman leaves an inheritance for his children, children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. There you have it. Change your mindset. Retirement is not you in a rocking chair or watching TV and doing nothing. Retirement is that season of life when you are going to be the most powerful for the kingdom of God, because it's a season in which you have walked longest with your God and you've gained wisdom and supernatural insight and power and authority. Number two, find something right now that's meaningful work to you, and don't be afraid to be compensated for it just because you're a woman. Number three, develop multiple streams of income. Don't count on one thing. Multiple streams of income. Number four, move. When you're in your senior season, move. Don't be a missionary. You weren't, oh, I couldn't be a missionary. I had kids. Oh, I couldn't be a missionary. My kids were in college. Oh, I couldn't be a missionary. My kids needed me near the grandkids. Oh, I couldn't, you know. At some point, why don't you just move and go be a missionary? How about your senior citizen years? I guarantee you, if you find me living in America in my senior season, come smack me, because that is the perfect opportunity for you to be the missionary that you could never be because you were just so indispensable in suburban North America. Number five, manage your money well. That's it, ladies. That was a lot, huh? That was a lot. I hope that was so helpful for you. Let me go ahead and pray for you. Can I? Father, this is it. This wraps it up. This brings us to the end of the teleseminars for the 90-day Jumpstart. And Lord, I thank you for those women who have been faithful, who have persevered. I thank you for those women who have allowed you to change their minds about a great many things, those women who've been willing to look at what your word says and not just read it through the paradigm of tradition and our North American mindset, but are willing to really see what Scripture says. And tonight we had another paradigm mind shift, didn't we, about what your word says or doesn't say about the idea of what we do with our senior season. God, I pray that we would not diminish, but that we would grow in influence, that we would grow even as Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Lord, I pray that for each of the women in this class, that they would grow and mature in wisdom, and favor, and stature with God and man, that with each passing year, they would become more and more powerful spiritually. With each passing year, they would become more and more influential in their family, more influential in their church, in their community, and for the kingdom of God around the world. I pray that you would raise up out of this class a core of women, of Proverbs 31 women, who would indeed become mighty, mighty in the land. And I ask it in the name of our King and for the sake of his kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, sisters, feel free to call in if you have any questions or comments. You can post them here on number four. Someone's asking me, what was number four? Number four was move. Move and be a missionary. Move overseas. Be a missionary somewhere. Why not? Why not? Anybody else have any questions? I don't know if Carolyn's on the line because her computer's driving her nuts because she wants to say something. Carolyn, you are on the line. We are live on the line with you. Lynn, if you want to say something, we're happy to hear it.
I'm on the line because I keep getting kicked off.
Okay. Any thoughts on this journey?
This has been great. I can't tell you how wonderful it's been.
Life-changing for you, huh?
Yes, yes. I'm just very excited about so many things.
Is there anything I can pray for you tonight?
Just that success in my business, that I would work it right and that it would be successful. So
okay.
That I will be able to do some of the things that I would like to do.
Okay.
Not personal fun things, but important things that I would like to do.
Well, Father, in your mighty name, we come into your throne room with boldness because we are your ambassadors. We are your representatives here upon the earth. And Father, I hear in my sister's voice that there is kingdom work that she feels called to. Kingdom work, maybe things that have been left undone, but she's ready now to do them. Father, I thank you that with the seasoning of time, there's growth and confidence as we know our God, even as Caleb. God, I thank you that you've done a work of seasoning in Carolyn's life and things where she would have once been fearful or concerned or held back by the fear of man and other people's opinions and what other people will think and say. Lord, that there's a seasoning and a new boldness and a new courageousness to step out in faith and to fulfill those kingdom assignments and to fulfill those gifts and talents that you've placed within her. God, I ask you now to prosper her. Father, I pray that you would give her a spirit of diligence. God, I pray for a spirit of diligence to overtake my sister, that she would be both wise and diligent as she goes about her work. That even as we taught our children, go to the ant, and watch how it diligently labors, even when no one is watching over it. And so I pray that you would give her the diligence of the ant, that she would labor and store up little by little, just being faithful in those small things, God. And that you would bless her, Lord. Your word is so clear that you are the one who rewards the diligent. Father, I thank you that promotion is in your hand. Promotion is from the Lord. That as she humbles herself before you and says, God, I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. I don't know how to be an internet, tech-savvy maven. But God, I come to you. I come to you in humility. And, Lord, I believe that as she comes to you in humility of spirit, that you will exalt her and you will bless her and you will promote her and grant her favor. And I ask you to do this, not for her sake alone, but, God, for the sake of the kingdom work that is on her heart. And I ask this in the name of her King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Donna.
Oh, bless you. We have muted out Lynn, and Shinga is on the line. Dear sister, how are you?
I am good, and I was just calling because I have a testimony. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, because I told you I got laid off, and I actually got laid off on April 20th, which is when we started our Bible study. And I just feel like God made a way even before I was laid off that he would provide the job. And I have a job offer now through someone I actually went to business school with. And I randomly contacted him last year just to say hi and didn't really, he wrote back to me and we chatted a little bit and forgot about it. And just before I got laid off, I sent that email to my account, my personal account, and I contacted him like 2 days later just telling him, oh, I got laid off. If you hear of anything, let me know. The next week he was like, I might have something in my team. Do you want to talk to me? So I talked to him. And then there were all these other, complications in terms of like they can only hire me as a consultant, but they wasn't sure if they could sponsor the visa and everything. So now they actually, even though they had initially for the first 6 months as a consultant, they are able to sponsor for the visa as well. So I just wanted to say thank you so much.
Oh, girl! Praise God! That's amazing!
Yep.
God has honored you. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you so much that you reward those who diligently seek you. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And my sister has been faithfully seeking you. She's been a diligent member of this class. And you have honored her and you have rewarded her with one who is even willing to assist with a visa. What a miracle. God, I thank you for what you've done in her life. I thank you, God. And I pray that you would continue to honor her. I pray that this job would be secure, that it would be that she would be firmly planted, God, that she would be firmly planted, and that you would pour out your favor upon her, that you would surround her with favor as with a shield. God, I thank you that this employer is going to go above and beyond even what is required in assisting her to become planted. God, I pray that she would become planted in a house of the Lord, that she would find a church home where she can become firmly planted and a body of believers that she can be firmly planted in so that she can prosper and grow and become all that you would have her to be. Lord, I pray that she would be firmly planted in this new assignment. God, that she would truly shine for you, that as her fellow employees recognize how much favor has been granted to her and just scratch their heads and say, wow, why so much? Why so much above and beyond? She'll simply smile and say, I serve an amazing God. Look what he has done for me, and he can do the same for you. I pray that she would shine like a star in the universe as she holds out the word of truth in that new job assignment. I thank you, King Jesus, for what you've done and for what you're going to do on her behalf. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that. That was awesome. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
If anybody else wants to call in, you do have a couple more minutes, and then I'm off to pick up my daughter at her dance class, but I have a little bit of time left. We are restructuring the class a little bit. The 90-day renewal, I was originally going to do it as a donation, but I was advised today that that's just too complicated because then the IRS will allow you to donate, to deduct only that portion that is beyond the value of services or products rendered, and so we decided that it was just too complicated to do it that way. But it's still going to be cheap. It's still going to be just $27, and I'm still, you know, raising the $40,000 from Mozambique. We're just going to have to figure out what all that is going to look like. But we've decided that we're not going to be able to do it that way because it's just going to be too complicated. But it's going to be at $27. And, I mean, believe me, it's going to be worth so much more than $27 to be part of that class. And for those of you in this class, I'm going to let you in free. Just as my guest, because you've been so faithful to this class, I'm going to let you take the 90-day renewal as my guest. You will need the book, Becoming the Woman I Want to Be, which is available right now on my website. The website's being reworked, so there's a couple little glitches in it. The web guy was supposed to be working on it within the next 48 hours. It should be looking really, really good, so we're excited about that. Teresa, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you and for your businesses as well. Father, we do thank you for Teresa and for her diligence as she's taken the second trip through the 90-day jumpstart. And Father, I pray for her with her business with Avon and with Isagenix as she's seeking to develop multiple streams of income. Father, I pray that you would bless her and bless her indeed. I pray that you would bless her with passive income that will sustain her into her senior season and even be a blessing to her children and grandchildren beyond her. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me again this week. It's been a pleasure. Last week will be call-ins, call-in only. Don't come in and chit and chat. Dial in, and we'll give you an opportunity to share your testimony about how God has used this in your life, and that will be a great encouragement to you, to me and to those who listen in the future. So please maybe even jot down some thoughts of what you'd like to share. You can email those to me as well. I'd love to be able to put those up on the website. Thank you so much for joining me for now. That's it. This is Donna Parteau with a 90-day jumpstart to a new you. God bless.